Hello there, this is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, Hospedia Channel 1 and online. Our theme today is the human heart, and it's all about examining ourselves, not making judgments on others. I don't know if you've heard of a song which tells us, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. I heard it a while ago and it reminded me of a time that it used to be not unusual for a person to make their confession to a priest before confirmation. That's when a person confirms their belief in God before a congregation. I went through that process as an adult and it wasn't an easy thing to do, to lay your heart bare before a priest. But I remember afterwards walking across the church lawn and I felt as light as air and so very happy. My heart was glad, just like that song, Oh Happy Day, when Jesus washed my sins away. In today's reading, the religious leaders are not listening to someone's willing confession. They're judging Jesus' disciples in what they see as shocking behaviour. But let's listen to Oh Happy Day before that reading. It's the Sister Act version, the part where the young people in the choir are just starting to discover that they can really sing when they put their hearts into it. And a very anxious soloist simply takes off after a very shaky start.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Here's our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law, who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, for their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Let's listen to the Blind Boys of Alabama singing, "Ain't Nobody's Fault But Mine."
Nobody's fault but mine.
Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine. Well, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Yeah. Nobody's fault but mine. Well, now I got a Bible I can read. I got a Bible I can read. If I fail to read it and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine. Well, my mother, she taught me how to pray. Mother, she taught me how to pray. If I fail to pray and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Now it's important to have rules in society. Can you imagine a world without them? But are all necessary, and aren't some obsolete? The Bible tells of the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses, which have been the foundation for many of the laws we have today. But other minor laws, which were written in the Bible, had to be kept too. Now, by the time of Jesus, these laws had become thousands of little rules and regulations, which had been invented to define what the former laws actually meant. And so the people were expected to obey them down to the last detail. And this ceremony of having to wash hands in a certain way was one of these regulations which were man-made, more to do with tradition. So in this reading we see how Jesus' disciples have been judged and found wanting. But it's Jesus who bears the brunt of the criticism here. After all, these men were his disciples. So when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Your disciples are not obeying the law," they were questioning his competence as a teacher. What they were really saying was, "You, as their teacher, should know better." I wonder if you've heard the story where a man from the Jewish faith and an Englishman were talking about their respective beliefs, and the Jewish man said, "You've taken everything from us. You even took our Ten Commandments." Whereupon the Englishman replied, "Oh yes, but we don't keep them." Many a true word is spoken in jest, so they say. Here's my version of the Ten Commandments, written for children to dance to, from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters, and it's set to the music, "I'll Tell Me More."
10, don't envy, 9, don't lie, 8, don't look around with even eyes, 7, be faithful, 6, don't kill, on a parent, show goodwill. For the Sabbath is a holy day, 6 days work, now time to play. 3, 2, 1 are all to do with loving God, 'cause He loves you. Thank you.
Jesus is quick to respond to his critics, though, by turning the tables on them. These leaders were forever judging others and not living model lives themselves. Jesus told them so, calling them hypocrites. They hated him for it. It's not nice to have your own sins pointed out by someone else, is it? Next time we point one finger of judgment at someone, we might just note that there are actually three fingers pointing back in our direction. But these elders were leading a double life, play-acting at faith, and not living it as they should. No wonder Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah that their hearts were far from God and they were only paying lip service to him. Jesus stood up to these critics and went on to say, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him." And this outraged them even further, because by saying this, Jesus was declaring all foods clean. And it was their firm belief that certain foods by law were unclean and must not be eaten under any circumstances. But Jesus is on a roll here and doesn't stop there. He goes one step further. "Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean," he said. Have we come on since then? I don't think so. We seem to have made so little progress. This next song, "Beauty for Brokenness" by Graeme Kendrick, invites us all to consider whether the love and compassion we say we believe in is what we actually put into practice.
Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cure for their ills. Work for the craftsman, trade for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear. Cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, a future and dreams. Lord, end our madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion. Change.
What are our hearts like? And have we discovered the person we really want to be? And are we flourishing? And what of the nations of the world? As a human race, are we flourishing? And have we learnt from the mistakes of the past? Most nations, ours included, seem happy to focus on the faults of the other nations. They point each other out with a finger of judgment, just like those scribes and Pharisees, and they can't see three fingers pointing back. Do we ever see our own faults, our neglect of our fellow men, our own prejudice and bigotry, our materialism and greed, our carelessness and abuse of the natural world? In a book called Where I Am, the evangelist Billy Graham had this to say. The world's greatest civilizations averaged a cycle of 200 years. These societies progressed through this following sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From great courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to selfishness. From selfishness to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependency. From dependency back again to bondage. Nations rise up and yet can fall so easily. But in the second book of 2 Chronicles are these words. The Lord says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." But in reality, there's only one person's life we can really change, and that's our own.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
God, I come.
In a book I'm reading at present by John Ortberg called The Me I Want to Be, he writes about being fully alive inside and about the inner freedom we can possess when we choose to live in love and joy. Here's an extract. Every once in a while, you do something that surprises you, and you catch a glimpse of the person you were meant to be. You say something inspirational at a meeting. You help a homeless man when no one else notices. You are patient with a rambunctious 3-year-old. You lose yourself in a piece of music. You express compassion. You stand up to a bully. You freely make a sacrificial gift. You forgive an old hurt. You say something you would normally never say, or you keep from saying something you would normally blurt out. As you do, you glimpse for a moment why God made you. Only God knows your full potential, and He's guiding you towards that best version of yourself all the time. Here's a song called From This Moment On.
From this moment on, I raise my hand, my clutching hand to you. My life is in that hand, I give that life to you. This moment on, I open up the hand I offer you. From this moment on, I give that life to you. Take my open hand, throughout my life, take all the wrong you see. From this moment on, take all you need from me. Into my empty hand, you place your life, abundant life, so free. I'm open to receive the gifts you're giving me.
What is it that you really want? What kind of heart do you really want from this moment on? Psalm 51 is such a beautiful psalm. It's a prayer, really. Verses 10 to 12 contain these words. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. We can pray a prayer like that and suddenly realize that God's not finished with us yet. Our final song by Rend Collective echoes that sentiment and says, "You're not finished with me yet," in their song, "Create in Me." Have a good week, everyone, and bye for now.
Create in me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a miracle. something beautiful. Create.